Donald on a Kitchen talks about food. Donald on a Kitchen talks recipes. Donald on a Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donald on a Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintos.
Here we are around our kitchen table at the studios of KHOI Community Radio in beautiful downtown Ames, Iowa. It's spring. There's hope in the air. There is hope.
Is it the equinox yet, or is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Okay. Isn't that nice? Okay. See, things are looking up. And we get by in this fine community radio station with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yes. The Donald on Kitchen Show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub means community. For more information, go to themuckyduckpub.com or call the pub and ask for Marcus.
Thank you to Mucky Duck Pub, and thank you to you, our listeners, for joining us today. As I mentioned, we're coming up on the equinox, and it's kind of mushy out there, but it is spring-ish.
But it feels like spring. Oh, that is the most important thing.
I think we've made it, Donna. I think we've kind of
anything could still happen. However, I'm grateful for a few days where things have... All those gray piles of slush are melting, and there's not so much ice that you can't go out for a good walk. It's pretty darn, it's very welcome. Thank you.
Ah, very good.
Yes.
So I would like to propose a toast to spring. I brought in something. I'll hold it up to the microphone here so we can see what it is. Spring. Two Danilana Kitchens shows ago, we talked to a wonderful young man.
Well, that was our sappy show, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had our sappy show.
Our
sappy show. SAP is running. And Ben Hoch is an entrepreneurial sort. And believe it or not, here in the middle of Iowa, he is making sugar out of maple trees. He has started
He's got a whole rig going around town.
Front yard sugar. He calls it a community-supported maple syrup. He gathers sap from your trees, and he makes syrup. And if you want to go to the past Donalana Kitchen show and find the show about maple syrup, you can find out all about that sort of thing. But first, I would like to propose a toast. A toast to...
Oh, my. She's even got wine glasses. It looks like water, but it's not.
It looks like water. This is the stuff that comes directly out of the tree.
This is the straight... So this is basically maple water.
Maple water.
Maple water.
Yeah.
Doo-doo. Clink, clink, clink.
A toast to spring. A toast
to trees. We made it through. Oh.
Uh-huh. See, that's the proper
reaction.
It's
so lovely.
That is the proper reaction. Oh, that's a good reaction because it does have... a bit of sugar in it. And so this is the time that the trees are running. It's a small, small window of opportunity. Yes, it is. So today on the Donalana Kitchen, besides a toast to spring, we're going to look beyond the borders of Iowa. Joining us today is Megan Filbert. She's going to share some thoughts on her latest travels in South America. We'll consider the spring floods, spring lambs, and PFI, Practical Farmers of Iowa, Field Days, and also, the show is full of stuff. We have some advice on starting seeds, too.
Yes, from Lana, who's the best seed starter I know.
Well, we discussed it. It's a fine little discussion. It is from our archives, and I thought it was worth dragging out again. Okay. So, this past week, all the stuff in the news, don't even want to think about some of the stuff in the news, but here in the Midwest, there was something, we had the results of something called a bomb cyclone event. It was some nasty weather, and especially folks in eastern Nebraska and western Iowa, and actually up into Minnesota and Wisconsin too, unprecedented amounts of snow and water and all that stuff is melting. The Missouri River is just going nuts. Just going nuts. Oh, dear. We welcome Megan Filbert to our kitchen table.
Thank you, ladies.
Great. She is the Practical Farmers of Iowa Livestock Program Manager. And she recently traveled. And see, when people go traveling, some people may ask questions like, oh, what sites did you see, and what sort of events did you go to? I always like to ask things like, so what do they grow there? What kind of food's going on? And she's going to tell us about her latest adventures. It's always good to learn new things. But first off, you have a little bit to say, Megan, about the farm flood victims and Practical Farmers of Iowa call for help. What happens to livestock when the water rises?
Thanks for asking. I've received several phone calls from farmers who are struggling. And one, it's because we were already short on hay due to a really long and cold winter. And of course,
lots of deep snow.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course, mid to late March is the time when we're all struggling to find hay in the first place. But now in Nebraska and in western Iowa, the places that maybe did have some hay, now all of that hay has been washed away or is wet and is unedible. So they're struggling even harder now and are looking for any sort of grass hay donations. I received a call from a woman who said she was rescuing horses out of a river and knew of cows that hadn't eaten for 3 days. So one, farmers are looking for higher ground and dry land to transport their cattle to for the time being, or the other would be taking hay donations or just simply buying hay if they can find hay from anywhere else in the state of Iowa. I did also receive a response from Ellen Walsh Roseman of Farm Table Delivery in Harlan, Iowa. She has a warehouse and she is opening up that warehouse to donations, and she has listed all of the donation possibilities and what they're looking for on her Farm to Table Delivery Facebook page if you want to lend a hand and help.
Thank you, Megan. So that's a thought for the flood victims, and not just people victims, but livestock victims too. So, Megan, you recently returned from a trip to Chile. Chile, of all places. Tell us, what did you learn?
I would love to share my thoughts of Chile and how we can apply some of their practices to our land. I had the pleasure of visiting Chile with my sister in February. And when we were there, it's the southern hemisphere, so it is the height of summer there. So it's basically the equivalent to August here. But yet it was at most 85 degrees and no humidity. So that was very pleasant. And the most pleasant part about it was that there was abundant amounts of clean water to jump in everywhere you went.
Clean water.
Yes, and I'll explain why I think all of the water is gorgeous and clean. So when most people think of Chile, they think of Patagonia and glaciers and rugged mountains and maybe the salt flats down south. I didn't make it that far south. I was in central Chile, what they call the lakes region. So it's just north of Patagonia. And it's about, I would say, 12 hours by car south of Santiago. So Chile is a very long country, but not very wide. So it's really unique because one side, the western side, is the Pacific Ocean, and the eastern border are the Andes Mountains. And in between, it's a lot of trees and pastures.
Pastures!
Which is just so delightful to me because whenever I travel, all I want to do is meet farmers and look at cows and sheep. And that's exactly what I got to do. So we were in the Lakes District, and really it looks like the Alps. It looks like the German and Swiss Alps, like kind of Bavaria. And essentially it's just small villages with lakes, all kinds of lakes, flanked by volcanoes in the distance.
Is there snow on the mountains?
And most of the volcanoes did have a snow cap.
It's that high. Okay.
Yes. Huh? So some of the water we were swimming in was glacial melt, essentially. Snow melt from the high peaks. And So this land was originally indigenous land, but not very densely populated. And I believe about 80 years ago, the Chilean government wanted to develop some of this land because it was being overrun with brush.